reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Exodus. It's on page 72. And we read Exodus 14, verses 10 through 14. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we might serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." This is God's word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Ephesians chapter 6, found on page 1253, and we read Ephesians 6 beginning at verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly, as I ought to speak." This is God's word of life. We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The holy gospel is found in the gospel according to St. Matthew, page 1038, and we read Matthew 7, beginning at verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God for his life-giving word.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on the words of Jesus. Simple words, but profound. From Matthew chapter 7, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. This is our text. What is the value of human life? And how do we measure that? That is an incredibly important question in our world today. It relates to the whole issue of abortion and whether or not it is something that is right or wrong. To the question of what could be called euthanasia, or some call mercy killing, or simply the right to die. But the taking of a human life before it would naturally occur. But while those are some of the major questions, at least in the political realm, the value of a human life is a question that at times we all ask. The young girl who looks at herself in a mirror and compares herself to the models in magazines and literally ends up starving herself to death because she doesn't think her life has the same value as that model. The aging person, and there's a couple of us here. Not that our life is maybe even close to being over, and we just can't do the things we used to do. And we get frustrated with ourselves. What good am I? What's our value? What is the value of a human life, and who determines it? In the Word of God, we learn something about the value of human life that cannot be taught any other way. Because it's a matter of revelation from God. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Genesis chapter 9. It's page 8. It's not the creation account, it's after the fall, when God had destroyed much of the world, saving only Noah and his family. And things are going to change, including the relationship between man and the animal kingdom. Beginning at verse 1 of chapter 9, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground and all the flesh of the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. And for your lifeblood, I will require a reckoning. From every beast, I will require it. And from man. From his fellow man, I will require a reckoning for the life of man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image." Is your life more valuable than an animal's? According to the Word of God, yes. Why? Because you were made in the image of God. If you will, an attack upon you and your life isn't just an attack against another creature. It's an attack against God Himself. Because we are His image and reflection. Yes, we don't do that very well now in our sinful state. But that doesn't change who we are. It doesn't change our value. But do you see, the world doesn't look at things that way anymore. We believe in something called evolution. Not we, hopefully, but the world. That we're really just one of many forms of life. If you will, an accident of the world changing and evolving. What makes your life more important than any other life? That is how our world thinks today. When you take God out of the equation. As witness to it, I'd like to read to you from an article that appeared in a major pediatrics magazine. "We can no longer base our ethics on the idea that human beings are a special form of creation. Why should we believe that the mere fact that a being is a member of the species Homo sapiens endows his life with some unique, almost infinite value? If we compare a severely defective human infant with a non-human animal, or a dog or a pig, for example, we will often find the non-human to have superior capacities, both actual and potential. Rationality, self-consciousness, communication, and anything else that can plausibly be considered morally significant. Only the fact that the defective infant is a member of the species Homo sapiens leads it to be treated differently from the dog or pig. Species membership alone, however, is not morally relevant. If we can put aside the absolute and erroneous notion of the sanctity of all human life, we may start to look at human life as it really is, at the quality of life that each human being has or can achieve." That's how the world thinks today. And yeah, it's even how we think at times. Life is just not as good as it used to be. I'm not as good looking as some other person. I don't have those talents. I'm not important. We measure the value of our lives by the things that we can do or the things that we can contribute to others. And if that's not measuring up to some artificial standard that perhaps we ourselves have created, then our life has no value. And as witness to how that infectious teaching is affecting people today, look at our young people. And I know I've quoted this a lot, but it's really something we dare not forget. Ages 9 or 9th grade to around the age of 25, the second leading cause of death. People saying to themselves, I don't matter. And taking their own lives. Every child that goes through my confirmation classes knows somebody in their school who's tried to do that. Who has said to themselves, my life doesn't have value. Who determines what our value really is? From revelation, not from what we dream up by ourselves, but from the Word of God, that enables us to build our lives on a rock. We learn how incredibly valuable our life is. For we are the image of God. And though we have done our best to destroy that image, God loved us so much that He sent His own Son to die on the cross to buy us back. How many of you have some junk laying around your house? Raise your hands. What's it worth? I can tell you exactly what your junk is worth. It's worth whatever you can get somebody to pay for it. Not a penny more, not a penny less. Some of you might have some very valuable junk in your house, and others may have junk that has absolutely no value. It all depends upon what somebody's willing to pay for it. How valuable are we? It's determined by what somebody is willing to pay for us. God so loved the world. That sets our value. And you only learn that through revelation. You only learn it through the Word of God. Do you know somebody who doesn't think their life is worth much? They will not learn how valuable they are apart from the Word of God. Do you know somebody who doesn't treat others as valuable? They will never learn what the true value of any human life is apart from the Word of God. Knowing that they are not just an accident of evolution. Knowing that life is really just survival of the fittest. They will only learn the real value of life from God's word, knowing that they are a special creation of God, made in his image, and valued so highly that God would send his only son to pay for us with God's own blood. That, my friends, is our value. That's what the Word of God teaches. And we can only build our lives on a solid rock if we build our lives on that Word. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001. By Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.